Today we're continuing our study of Samson. Here's a quick summary. In part one of Samson, we learned about prenatal care. We learned about Samson's birth and the instructions given to Samson's parents by an angel of God. We learned God knows us before we are even born. He has a plan for us if we only let Him control our lives. We also learn God's prenatal instructions are supreme. What the mother eats and drinks affects the well-being of the child. Also, it's important to pray to God and beg Him to teach you the ways He wants you to bring up your children. Then be thankful for all God has given you. Lastly, trust in God always, for He will give you wisdom and understanding. Then we had Samson Part 2. There we got some premarital counseling, some good advice, how to do things right, and how to avoid doing them the wrong way. We learned that children should obey their parents, for this is right in the Lord. God can use you even though you strayed from His original plan. And we learned to seek God's advice, not man's, for your premarital counseling. So many people seek what other men have to say, but they fail to turn to God. Better to live alone than with a nagging woman. Keep close communion with Christ to know if you are on the right path. Now we're to Samson Part 3. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear God, thank you for everything you give us today. For the liberty to come here, we know people even in our own country are losing their liberties to proclaim your message, and we thank you for the opportunity. Give me a clear mind and be able to tell what's from your word in that holy name. Amen. We see Samson being a judge in Israel. If you want to follow today, turn to Judges chapter 15, verses 19 and 20, but mainly we will be discussing chapter 16. And God split open the hollow place that is at Lehi, and there came water from it. And when he drank, his spirit returned, and he was revived. That's Samson they're talking about. Therefore, the name of it was called Echanor. It is at Lehi to this day. And he judged Israel in the day of the Philistines 20 years. Anybody know what a judge is? Webster says, a judge is a public officer authorized to hear and decide cases in a court of law. A person appointed to decide any competition, contest, or matter at issue. It also says it's an administrative head in Israel in the period between the death of Joshua and the throne of Saul. Would you call a judge an honorable position? We call them your honor. Well, Samson was a judge in Israel for 20 years. Joshua chapter 16 starts with someone placing a tracking device on Samson's donkey. Let's follow the trail. Chapter 16, verse 1. Samson went to Gaza. We have Gaza there now, don't we? And there he saw a harlot, and he went into her. Now, do you think that that story would hit the newsstand today? It sure would. Called Gossip City. And whose fault would it be? None other than Samson's fault, right? Why would a man of God doing things like this be allowed to be a judge for 20 years? You ever thought of that? Well, the reasons I came up with is because Samson was stronger and mightier than the Philistines, and he was the protector of the Israelites. In other words, people were afraid of him. Sometimes we put people in power that do not necessarily do what's right, but they are able to exert their power over other people. Where was this path taking Samson? Proverbs 6:32 says, he who commits adultery has no sense, and he who does it destroys himself. There's lesson number one, if you want to write it down. The path to a harlot is death and destruction. Verse 2, the Gazites were told, Samson has come here, and they surrounded the place and lain in wait for him all night at the city gate. They kept quiet all night, saying, Let us wait for light in the morning, and then we will kill him. Samson didn't read Solomon, did he? You know why? Because Solomon was born after Samson. But he sure could have used his advice. Well, we are so much smarter today because we have all of Solomon's Proverbs. And we don't fall into these kind of snares the devil has waiting for us. Or do we? Verse 3. But Samson lay until midnight, and at midnight he arose and took hold of the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and pulled them up, bar and all, and put them on his shoulders, and carried them to the top of the hill that is before Hebron. Now in the middle of sin, does God still love us? Yes, he does. Does he still protect us during times of sin? Yes, he does. You have a man like Samson sleeping with prostitutes, not just once, but quite often, I guess. I would have a hard time loving him. How about you? It'd be kind of hard. But God still did, and he wanted him. Lesson number 2. God loves us as sinners, and he will never leave us. Who's doing the leaving? We do. We reject God and his righteousness. He loves us and wants us to run towards him, but we run away from him and into sin. I feel God impressed Samson. Now is the time. Get up and leave. And by the way, the gate is locked. So to show everyone that I am still with you, I will help you pick up the gate, posts, and all, and carry them miles away. Have any of you ever seen the painting of Samson carrying the gates of the city? I have, and it's pretty impressive. He did not need to flex his muscles. They were already bulging under the load. Chapter 16, verse 4. After this, he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Oh my. Here again, Samson needs the words of Solomon. Proverbs 7, verses 21 through 27 says, with much seductive speech, she persuades him. With her smooth talk, she compels him. Does that sound like Samson's problem? All at once, he follows her, as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a stag is caught fast, till an arrow pierces it. As a bird rushes into a snare, he does not know it will cost him his life. And now, O sons, listen to me, and be attentive to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart turn aside to her ways, and do not stray into her paths, for many a victim she has laid low. Yea, all her slain are a mighty host. A lot of people have been slain by this problem. Her house is the way to Sheol, going down to the chambers of death. Samson should have read that, shouldn't he? What was Samson's weakness? Anybody know? Women. Why? I don't know. I hope to ask Samson in heaven. Do you think he will be there? I do. And we will see further on that Samson was talked about in Hebrews in the New Testament. Verse 5, and the lords of the Philistines came to her and said to her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lies, and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to subdue him, and we will give each of you 1,100 pieces of silver. Wow, that was a lot of money. Anybody know how much Jesus was betrayed for? 30 pieces of silver. How many lords were there? That was 1,100 pieces of silver multiplied by the number of lords. Now, was this the first recorded espionage? Here she was offered a great sum of money from each of the lords of the Philistines. They wanted to use a female spy to discover the Israelites' secret weapon and how to destroy it. Lesson number 3. You can write it down. Lead me not into temptation. Verses 6 through 9. And Delilah said to Samson, please tell me wherein your great strength lies and how you might be bound that one may subdue you. And Samson said to her, If they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings, which have not been dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought her 7 fresh bowstrings, which have not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now she had men lying in wait in an inner chamber, and she said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." But he snapped the bowstrings as a string of tow snaps when it touches the fire. So the secret of his strength was not known. That was strike number 1. What was going through Samson's mind? Did he not realize that she was setting him up to be destroyed? Even though he was playing games with her, he was playing with fire and entertained evil. Chapter 16, verses 10 through 12. And Delilah said to Samson, "Behold, you mocked me and told me lies. Tell me how you might be bound." And he said to her, "If they bind me with new ropes that have not been used, then I shall become weak and be like any other man." So Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them. And she said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And the men lying in wait were in an inner chamber. But he snapped the ropes off his arms like threads. I almost think they probably put extra thick ropes, don't you think? Strike number 2. The more you associate with the tempter, the more likely you will fall to the deceiver. Samson sought the sensuous pleasures that were luring him to ruin. Lesson number 4. What and who you associate with, you become. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 565. He loved a woman in the Valley of Sorek. The Vale of Sorek was celebrated for its vineyards. These also had a temptation for the wavering Nazarite, who had already indulged in the use of wine, thus breaking another tie that bound him to purity and to God. The Philistines kept a vigilant watch over the movement of their enemy. And when he degraded himself by this new attachment, they determined, through Delilah, to accomplish his ruin. Chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. And Delilah said to Samson, "Until now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me how you might be bound." Kind of whiny, huh? And he said to her, "If you weave the 7 locks of my hair with a web and make it tight with the pin, then I shall become weak like any other man." So while he slept, Delilah took the 7 locks of his head and wove them into the web. And she made them tight with the pin and said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." But when he awoke from sleep, he pulled away the pin, the loom, and the web. Strike number 3 and lesson number 5. Oh, what a web we weave when we practice to deceive. Strike number 3, and Samson was still not out. You see, by the grace of God, he was given a 4th strike. But by staying with this betrayer, he kept his foot closer to the grave. Patriarchs and Prophets 565 says, "As the betrayer plied Samson with her questions, he deceived her by declaring that the weakness of other men would come on him if certain processes were tried. When she put the matter to test, the cheat was discovered. Then she accused him of falsehood, saying, 'How canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me 3 times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth.'" 3 times, Samson had the clearest evidence that the Philistines had leagued with his charmer to destroy him. But when her purpose had failed, she treated the matter as jest and blindly banished fear. Amazing. 3 strikes, and Samson still was in the game. Chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. And she said to him, "How can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these 3 times, and you have not told me wherein your great strength lies." And when she pressed him hard with her words day after day and urged him, his soul was vexed unto death. What does vexed unto death mean? I'll give you an illustration. The Battle of Stalingrad during World War II was arguably the bloodiest battle in human history, which combined casualties estimated above 1.5 million people. You think the little wars today were tragic. This was just one battle in World War II. In 1942, the German army with the Axis forces had nearly captured the sprawling Russian city. But by 1943, after months of brutal house-to-house fighting, the Russian military defending Stalingrad managed to turn the tables and surround Hitler's Sixth Army. The besiegers became the besieged. In addition to a heavy bombing campaign, the Russians placed powerful loudspeakers within listening range of the German soldiers. A series of sound tactics were used to discourage the German troops. For example, they played the loud, monotonous ticking of a clock, followed by a voice saying, "A German dies every 7 seconds on the Eastern Front." The propaganda voice then said, "Stalingrad, mass grave of Hitler's army." And then creepy tango music would start blaring across the empty frozen wasteland. Demoralized and starved, 91,000 Germans eventually surrendered. Samson, the mighty judge of Israel, surrendered the secret of his strength when Delilah pestered him over and over. Her words eventually broke him down until his soul was so vexed unto death that he told her all of his heart. Discouraging words have a powerful force on our lives. We don't even need to audibly hear them. They can bring us down by just thinking negative thoughts. Wise Solomon wrote, "The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report makes the bones healthy." Proverbs 15:30. And Paul encouraged, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Not just let them go through your mind, but meditate on them. Philippians 4:8. Do not surrender to the enemy by listening to negative words or an evil report. That's lesson number 6. Think and talk faith. Repeat the promises of God. Believe in the Bible and stand firm against discouraging words. Verses 17 through 20. And he told her all his mind and said to her, "A razor has never come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I be shaved, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his mind, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up this once, for he has told me all his mind." This is interesting. Then the lords of the Philistines came to her and brought the money in their hands. She made him sleep upon her knees, and she called a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times and shake myself free." Strike number 4, and Samson was out. God gave him one extra strike, and Samson played with the deceiver too long. How many strikes does God give us today? More than we deserve. And why does God give us so many chances? Because he loves us. He wants to save us, not only from our present danger, but for eternity. Chapter 16, verse 20, the last part. And he did not know that the Lord had left him. This is one of the saddest sentences in the Bible. How sad to play with fire so long that Samson did not even realize the Lord had left him. God was no longer there to be his strength. Samson did become like any other man, and he knew it not. Lesson number 7. Do not let the Lord leave you. Cling to him. Verse 21. And the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza, bound him with bronze fetters, and he ground at the mill in the prison. Patriarchs and Prophets 566 says, what a change to him who had been the judge and champion of Israel. Now weak, blind, and imprisoned, he was degraded to the most menial service. Little by little, he had violated the conditions of his sacred calling. God had borne long with him, but when he had yielded himself to the power of sin, as to betray his secret, the Lord departed from him. There was no virtue in his long hair, merely, but it was a token of his loyalty to God, and when the symbol was sacrificed in the indulgence of passion, the blessing of which it was a token was also forfeited. Verses 22 to 27. But the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. Now the lords of the Philistines gathered to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. For they said, our God has given Samson, our enemy, into our hands. Did their God give Samson into their hands? No, Samson's God gave him into their hands. And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, our God has given our enemy into our hand, and the ravager of our country who has slain many of us. And when their hearts were merry, they said, call Samson that he may make sport for us. So they called Samson out of prison, and he made sport before them. They made him stand between the pillars, and when Samson said to the lad who held him by the hand, let me feel the pillars on which the house rests, that I might lean against them. Now the house was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there, and on the roof there was about 3,000 men and women who looked on while Samson made sport. Lesson number 8. If we will not humble ourselves before God, he will let our ways humble ourselves. Samson was indeed humbled. Humble on our knees is how we seek the true God. A penitent man falls on his knees before the Lord. The end of the chapter, 28 to 31. Then Samson called to the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be avenged upon the Philistines for one of my two eyes. And Samson grasped the two middle pillars upon which the house rested, and he leaned his weight upon them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. I would like to think that he said, lad, quick, run out of the building as fast as you can. But it doesn't say that. Then he bowed with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords, and upon all the people that were in it, so that the dead whom he slew at his death were more than those he had slain during his life. Then his brothers and all his family came down and took him and brought him up, and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the tomb of Manoah his father, and he had judged Israel 20 years. God's promise that through Samson he would begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines was fulfilled. But Samson's record was not what God had intended for his purpose. Had Samson been true to his divine calling, the purpose of God would have been accomplished in his honor. But he yielded to temptation and proved untrue to his trust, and his mission was fulfilled in defeat, bondage, and death. Physically, Samson was the strongest man upon the earth, but in self-control, integrity, and firmness, he was one of the weakest of men. The real greatness of a man is measured by the power of the feelings that he controls. God's providential care had been over Samson, that he might be prepared to accomplish the work that he was called to do. At the beginning of his life, he was surrounded with favorable conditions for physical strength, intellect, and moral purity. But under the influence of wicked associates, he let go of his hold upon God. Is that the end of the story of Samson? No, it isn't. Do you know where else Samson is talked about in the Bible? Hebrews 11:32. Isn't it interesting to note that in the New Testament, Samson's failures and his heroic feats of strength are not mentioned? He is simply listed with others who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised. In the end, Samson recognized his dependence on God. When he died, God turned his defeats and failures into victory. Samson's story teaches us that it's never too late to start over. No matter how badly we may have failed in the past, it's never too late. As long as we are still living, it is never too late to put your complete trust in God. He wants you. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, we come today hearing the end of the story of Samson. We ask you to put these lessons in our heart that we may not leave you, that we may cling to you and want you to control our lives so that we can accomplish the purpose that you want for us. In thy holy name, amen.